Amen. Great to see y'all this morning. A beautiful, beautiful morning we're having. This is finally looking like springtime. Amen. Exciting. I'm going to open up with a scripture in 1 Samuel this morning. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 21, 22, I don't know, maybe even 20. We'll see. I don't know what I gave. If it's not right on the board, it's my fault. It's not John's fault, but I'm looking in the Message Bible this morning for this verse. It says, after Samuel got all the tribes of Israel lined up, the Benjamin tribe was picked. Then he lined up the Benjamin tribe in family groups, and the family of Machri was picked. The family of Machri took its place in the lineup, and the name Saul, son of Kish, was picked. But when they went looking for him, he was nowhere to be found. He just got selected out of all of the tribes and whittled down to the point where he is being selected to be king, and he has vanished. Samuel went back to God and said, where is he? Is he anywhere around? God answered, yes, he is right over there, hidden in that pile of baggage. I like the Message version of that because of the implication of the word baggage, right? We talk about baggage, and we might be talking about luggage, or we might be talking about something very heavy, right? You ever been introduced to somebody or been thinking about somebody? Maybe you've been counseling one of your buddies about somebody he's interested in, you know, a relationship, and you go, Matt, you're sitting in the right place, Matt. Matt, that lady's got a lot of baggage. That doesn't mean she loves to travel. That doesn't mean, oh, good, because I don't have any suitcases at all. That means she's carrying some stuff or she has some issues. You know, we use that term a lot, and it simply means, you know, that you're carrying some stuff. You've got some stuff probably that you shouldn't be carrying around. I read a book back in high school. I had a high school teacher that really took an interest in me and literally put this book in my hand and said, you must read this. And it's been something I actually have revisited again multiple times throughout my life. And it has impacted me greatly. It's not a spiritual book at all. It's a Vietnam era kind of memoir from Tim O'Brien. He was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for this book called The Things They Carried. And you may know it. I know it was old by now, but it was very popular back in the day. It talks a lot about the things that these men carried in his unit and in the military, and a lot of mission-specific items that they were required to carry. And as a teenage, you know, boy in high school, who I at one point had thought I was going to go into the military and kind of follow in my father's footsteps there a little bit, I was intrigued by this. And every man had a job in the unit, and that job, you know, kind of made their specific items very necessary. And he went into great detail talking about everything from the weapons they carry to the food rations to, you know, maps and compass and radio. But it did not take long. Within the first few pages of this book, I realized that he wasn't really writing a story about the items that they carried in their pockets and on their back. He was talking about heavy things that they carried, things like fear and grief and heartache. And he talked about how the officers carried the weight and the burden of men's lives to the men that served under him. And I've been thinking a lot about that book again, and even, you know, kind of going through it once again in my life, and handed it over to my son and said, you know, I was about your age, you should probably read this. But I've been thinking a lot about just the things that we carry, the baggage that we carry, the emotional baggage that weighs us down. And Max Lucado wrote a book simply called Traveling Light, and the subtitle was Releasing the Burdens That We Were Never Intended to Bear. Now, that's a great spiritual book. It kind of goes along with the army book that I read as a teenager. But it certainly is true that there is stuff that we carry that weighs us down that we were never intended to carry. So in 1 Samuel that we read just a moment ago, we see Saul being anointed as king. This should be a big deal. This should be a happy day, right? You're getting put in place. You're getting elected, you might say. And where is he? He's hiding amongst the baggage. He is so afraid of what's coming next that he's hiding. He's been chosen by God, not elected by a majority of his peers. He was chosen by God, and he's hiding. He has been empowered and emboldened. I mean, how would you like that our elected officials, they're not elected in election, God speaks and picks them? That would be a big vote of confidence, wouldn't it? Be like, it wasn't just, 51% of you guys. God spoke, and yet he did not go voluntarily. The Bible says they had to take him from that hiding place and put him in. And if you follow the lineage of Saul as a king, that was a key moment where we probably should have gone, this is not going to turn out well. His legacy did not go well. It was not a great leader. We look at him and we see that he carried emotional baggage. He carried weights that he never released, and it really prohibited him from becoming the king that God wanted him to be and that he was really able to be if he had just changed some things about himself. He carried the weight of guilt, or not of guilt, I'm sorry, of doubt. He really doubted that he was capable. He doubted that God could really use him. Maybe that sinks in with some of you, that you just doubt. Maybe it's your past. Maybe you think the things that I've done, my background, the things that were before, we talk about BC, before Christ in my life, that I just doubt, how could he ever really use me? And Saul, his faith was shaky, and it led to his downfall. He carried it, and there's scriptures where he's voicing his transgressions and his past or his sins, and he never seemed to be able to let it go. And he feared the people. He feared that what they would think. He was very concerned about what other people thought, more than what God thought. The vote of confidence from God. God chose him to be king, but he was so afraid of the opinions of man. He was worried what they would think. He also carried jealousy, especially when David comes on the scene, and we see this tremendous jealousy of David because the people loved David. And Saul was so concerned with what people thought of him. He carried this baggage of looking the part, of looking religious, we could say. If you've been in the church world long enough, you know what that's like. We got to look religious. And he was good at keeping up the appearance, and he could play the part, and he could go through the outer worship and sacrifices, and he would do it for the appearance. He would do it for what the people saw, but he didn't do it for the love of God in his heart. And that was the difference between David and Saul. We see Saul doing sacrifices inappropriate and wrong and being disobedient to God. And finally, God stops speaking to him altogether. And then we see this great divide start working its way in there between really God's chosen king. Now, when God stops speaking to him, there's just, very traumatic moment. You'd think, okay, this is the moment. This is the moment you need where you're going to change. This is the moment where you feel conviction, where you decide to repent. But instead, he just wants to hear from the other side, we could say. He just wants some of that, supernatural empowerment. So instead of repenting and getting in a right place with God, he goes to see a witch and to find out his future there, and ultimately sealed his fate. And if this was the end of the story, it'd be a pretty depressing story in the lineage here of the Bible and in Samuel. But we see this tale of two kings, of these kind of polar opposites, when we find David comes on the scene. And David is a kind of a perfectly imperfect man. He's not a perfect man at all, which is why he's so relatable. He fails. He has sin in his life, but he is a man who is driven by his love of God. and one of our first moments to kind of see David come on the scene, we have him heading to deliver goods to his brothers who are in battle. This is right before, you know, his encounter with Goliath that we learn about in Sunday school, you know, right? Right before that, his dad sends him. He's not big enough. He's not tough enough. He's kind of the run of the litter, so he's not actually in the military. He's not fighting the battle. He's just delivering food for the troops. And so they send him there. And in 1 Samuel 17, we see this kind of this awesome moment. And he says, "And Jesse," that's David's father, "Jesse said to David his son, 'Take your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp of your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token back from them.'" Verse 19, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep." Look at this. He left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went. So he starts letting go of the things that he's carrying. "Just as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle, shouting the war cry." He arrives literally as they're marching out to battle and the war cry. Now, think about being a young man who desires to be fighting, who desires to be amongst those going into battle. And you arrive right at that moment. They're beating their chest. They're starting their war cry. And David, I'm sure there's some excitement boiling up in his blood. And he says, "And Israel and Philistine drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks." Literally, he's loaded down with goods and provisions and food and supplies. And this battle is raging. This battle is raging, and they're starting to march. They're starting to pump themselves up. And I bet David is getting excited for what's coming. And his gut reaction is to drop everything that he's carrying. There's a man over there. His job, it says he is the keeper of the baggage. And David drops it all. He's like, "I'm going to lighten my load. I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm going to be prepared for it." Think about the things that, you know, would be required to carry in battle. It wouldn't be, you know, 80 pounds of grain on your back. So this is right before he marches up to face Goliath. What would have happened if he was still carrying the load of all of this stuff? He's still, you know, pulling a rope with a herd of goats, you know, behind him. And he prepared himself immediately. He unburdened himself of everything that he was carrying. My favorite thing that's ever said about David is that he was a man after God's own heart. And I've talked about that before, about forgiveness and letting go. But I think, you know, the heart of God is that you would unburden yourself at his feet. That you would let things go. Things that you're holding on to. Things that are weighing you down. Things that would prevent you from what God wants you to do. I'm not gonna speak too much longer. We'll go ahead and call the band back up. I shared months and months ago about, maybe we were talking about prayer, forgiveness. I don't remember exactly, but I kind of mentioned real briefly a drive I took and kind of an encounter I had with God. And I didn't tell the whole story because I wasn't sure I should tell the whole story. And I'm still not going to tell the whole story, but I will tell you a little more about where I was going and why I was going. And the why explains kind of the baggage. So right about a year ago, probably March of last year, I got a phone call regarding our family, and it kind of changed the course of our family for a while. We had a predator in our midst, and several children in our family were being abused. And I got the call, and within 5-10 minutes, I was in the car, heading. I'm the only family member that doesn't live there. You know, you feel helpless when you're not around, right? I said, I want to go. I don't know. I just want to be there. So I grabbed a bag. You know, this is, you talk about traveling light. When you're in a hurry, what do you need? I said, man, I'll wear the same jeans for 3 days. I don't care. You know, I'd like some socks, like some underwear, maybe a clean shirt here and there. And then you start, you know, what is necessary? Because nothing unnecessary is going. You know, you need toiletries. I need contact solution. I need a toothbrush. That'd be nice too. Everyone would appreciate that. And so, you know, literally, this isn't the family vacation where you're packing, you know, a van. This is what fits in a backpack and let's go. Let's get on the road. Contrast that to taking the kids to Disney when they were kids and packing, you know, car seats and packing plays and whew, traveling light's much better. So whatever I could fit, you know, it took me 5 minutes probably to pack, you know. So I grabbed all of that, and then I'm starting to feel the anger. I'm starting to feel the rage. And I packed a little more than what I normally pack. And I grabbed a rifle, grabbed my range bag that, you know, six extra magazines, and Matt knows. I grabbed an AR and grabbed magazines, threw it in the trunk, and I said, you know, this is just being real with you. I'm a man of God, but I'm a man. And if somebody's hurting your family, these are reactions to anger. Like, what am I going to do? I don't know. But Boy Scout, be prepared. I don't know. I know I was mad. I know beyond mad, hurt. So I started packing things, and though I didn't pack much, I made sure I grabbed enough to start a small war wherever I was going. And I got in the car, and I carried very little physical items, but I carried a lot of anger. I carried rage. I carried heartbreak and sadness. I carried this hopelessness and helplessness that I just couldn't. What's done is done. How do you move past this? And I started to drive, and something that I also carried kind of came into place on that drive, and it's something that I always carry, and I've carried it for years. It was a gift that I was given a long time ago. I'm talking about the things we carry this morning. This gift, it's just something you carry with you, you know. I mean, everybody has things that they keep in their pockets and keep on them. And the Bible calls this thing many terms. Sometimes it's called counselor. It's called comforter. Sometimes it's called the Holy Ghost. Other times it's called the Holy Spirit. And it's simply been called the peace of God. In John 14, Jesus is leaving. He knows he's leaving. He's talking about, you know, he's going to be crucified. He's going to leave his friends behind. And he says in verse 15, or verse 16, let's start there. He says, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and it doesn't know him. But you know him, and he dwells with you, and he's going to be in you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Then verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring all things that I have taught you into remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Then he says, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives. He gives gifts that's different than the world gives. He says, I give unto you. And then he says, this is his grand exit speech. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. And I begin to drive. And I began, I mean, if you could see through spiritual eyes, I think you'd be like throwing bags out my window. I began to drive, and I began to play. I was playing, actually, we've been singing his songs all morning. I was playing Zach Williams. I was playing the song, Heaven Help Me. And I just began to weep and shed bags. And my role in coming home, being with my family, wasn't to fight, wasn't to start a war. My role was to minister. My role was to love. My role was to bring peace. And I had to unburden myself of some things. And I began to just shed. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." But my favorite is Hebrews 12 when he says, "Let us throw off everything." Let us throw it off. Everything that hinders us. Everything that hinders us. And let us run with perseverance the race. We have a task. We're supposed to be walking this faith journey. We're supposed to be on this race. And we have the finish line in sight. And I hope we all make it there together. But to get there, we have to lighten our load. We have to unburden ourselves. We have to realize that there is a keeper of the baggage. We're not supposed to be hiding behind the baggage. We're supposed to be dropping this stuff at the feet of Jesus. And as we worship and close out this morning, I want to let you know there are two things available for you today. Number one is that you do have somebody who would gladly take those things from you. And number two is that you have this great gift, the greatest gift I've ever received, a gift that man does not give, a gift like no other, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Those are available for you this morning. And it has changed my life. And we still get angry. We still pick up those bags occasionally. I left it there. I'm going to pick it up when I leave. I just had a little moment here. And it's just life. But it's a continual process where God says, "Hey, you're supposed to leave that there. Let me take that once again from you." And I'm so thankful He's patient with me. I'm so thankful that He doesn't judge me for going back and having the same reactions over and over and over again. Why don't we stand up together? Let's pray, and then we're going to just want to worship a little bit. We have a prayer team that comes up here. If you'd like prayer this morning, they would love to pray for you. Unburden yourselves. Don't carry things you're not supposed to carry. Think about how wonderful it would be to travel light. Lord, I love you. I am so thankful for your Spirit, so thankful for your love and for your peace, for your comfort in the midst of storms. I'm so thankful that I can ignore the storm around me and keep my eyes on you. And when I keep my eyes on you, I just rise above it. Be like Peter, stepping out in faith, walking on the waters, Lord, with my eyes focused on you. When things are going rough, when life is difficult, when it seems like the devil is attacking us, attacking our family, attacking our kids, our loved ones, Lord, I keep my eyes on you. A peace that is beyond comprehension. That's the promise that you give. Lord, that you didn't leave us comfortless, but you sent your Spirit to abide in us. I'm so thankful for it this morning. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for the fellowship and the power of believers and of family, Lord, who lift us up when we need a hand, who embrace us when we need it, who pray for us, who support us. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen, amen.